Packed slate of sports the last couple days, and in the days coming towards us, it's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Divisional series in the MLB off and running right now with the Tigers and the Guardians. No score right now. Man on third for Detroit. Two outs entering the eight-man in the lineup. But packed day of football yesterday. A lot of big good teams lost. The Niners dropped one. The Rams couldn't figure it out towards the end of the game. The Cowboys won the last second. Jaguars get their first win of the year. The Denver Broncos move to 3-2. And of course, Alabama losing to Vanderbilt. Tennessee losing to Arkansas. Miami escaping by the skin of their teeth against Cal Berkeley. Whole lot happened over the weekend. We got you covered on that front. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. Christian Catt is going to help us out. Let's get to some 5-5.
Number one.
Thank you, Colin. It is time for 5-5, brought to you by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. If you're experiencing foot or ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field, Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more info today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians, leading-edge treatments, and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County throughout the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho.
Number one.
The Brownies got embarrassed by the Commanders yesterday, 34-13. Deshaun Watson was 15 for 28, only 125 passing yards. He was sacked seven times. But despite the awful start, Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said they will not make a change at quarterback. My question for you fellas is, will Watson finish the season as Browns QB?
Who's even their start, their backup?
Jameis Winston.
It's a good backup. Comparatively, I don't know why they wouldn't go there.
I'll tell you why they won't go there, because the owner brought this quarterback in. And this is, like, I don't know this for certain. So this isn't me going, oh, yeah, Jimmy has him. Everyone thinks, and Andrew Berry is the one that takes the heat for the Watson deal. He's the GM. He's the one who ultimately, quote-unquote, made the move. I don't care what anybody says. The owner brought this guy in. And the reason he's still starting is because he's making generational wealth. Jimmy Haslam has been a disgrace of an owner since this deal, okay? I'm not mincing words here. This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. And for Kevin Stefanski to have to sit up there and answer these questions, I quite frankly feel bad for him. Now, the offense is pitiful. I understand that. But Watson isn't a Kevin Stefanski kind of quarterback. Look what Stefanski was able to do with a healthy Baker Mayfield before Mayfield played through the shoulder injury and that season was a nightmare. Look what Stefanski was able to do with Joe Flacco last year. I personally think Deshaun Watson just can't play anymore. And now the whole country could see how bad of a contract that was. As long as Watson is healthy, he's going to start. But Colin, I think somewhere along the year, he's going to pick up a knock. I mean, when he gets sacked seven times in one game, you're not going to stay healthy. If this continues to be a theme, you're not going to stay healthy. I don't think Watson is going to start every single game because I think at some point, sadly, he will get hurt.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I think that Winston, if it wasn't for the contract and the owner, Winston would be starting. And don't think that the Browns' defense is, you know, not getting any criticism either. The offense was abysmal. You barely had any first downs in the game. But the defense, quite frankly, I think quit. And we can put that on the head coach that some of the team quit. But that's my two cents on that. The owner ought to be ashamed of himself. I feel bad for Kevin Stefanski, even though he didn't have the guys ready to go, because this isn't the guy he wanted at quarterback.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. That was a terrible bet on your part. On that punchline picks, the Browns. Hey,
you know what?
Yeah,
the Commanders felt too easy. That felt like bait.
I was a little shocked you guys took that. Did we win those picks? We lost one game
over
the weekend.
They have their lock tonight, which will determine who wins the game.
And you lost your lock.
I know, and I cannot believe that the Dolphins won that game. I texted you yesterday. Colin didn't respond. But
if Saints cover the 5.5, we will win the week and take the lead.
Well, the Patriots had that touchdown that got called back
by the
Neal. And Yeah, he was out. And even if they did get it, they probably would have went for two. So that's why I got nervous with that. So there was no guarantee with the minus one that either we would have pushed or whatever.
But we all had good weeks. I mean, even if you guys don't get that tonight, you know, I was shocked that all of our picks went as well as they did, quite frankly.
Yeah, so that game tonight will determine it. Moving on, number two.
Number two.
Hurricane Milton is hitting the Gulf Coast of Florida. And the Buccaneers announced Monday that in advance of Hurricane Milton's expected landfall, the club is going to depart Tampa on Tuesday morning, relocating operations to New Orleans for the remainder of the week. I ask you two fellas, how are you preparing for Hurricane Numero Uno in your life?
Did you go to the grocery store? I hope you did.
No.
You got food?
Yeah, I got food.
Okay,
good. I got food, you gotta cook.
Okay, good.
That might be problematic. How are you prepared, C-Cat?
By adopting two dogs for 3 weeks. That's how I prepared. So if it all goes to hell, I've got a pack of hounds that'll attack anyway.
Are you like a doomsday? Like you have cases of water and flashlights and all that nonsense?
No, I'm more so planning my TV viewing schedule. Like I haven't watched that 70 show yet, so I might crack that open.
But what happens if we lose power? We don't have Wi-Fi then.
I am bleeped.
Right.
I might just quickly go on my roof and ask for help from National Guard because my TV's not working.
Yeah, honest to God. Colin, I was lucky enough to have my family here this weekend. Obviously, family again coming in this next weekend, which I don't understand why because there's a hurricane coming, but that's neither here nor there. We went to the grocery store and loaded up the fridge. The only thing I don't have is battery flashlight. I checked up. Our GM, Stephanie Prince, was. I thought it was real sweet of her to reach out to us on Sunday, letting us know about hurricane season. The only thing I don't have on the list is a battery.
She sent a list?
Flashlight. Yeah. You didn't see the email?
Oh. I think that only went to certain employees.
No. I think
Colin
I got it.
Colin was on it.
I just didn't read it.
I believe it was myself and our partnership coordinator, Mike Jones, and marketing coordinator, Lucas. It's our first hurricane season, so I think we were all on it. But I checked everything off. Also, boys, fun fact, just in case I lose power, my Switch is at 100% and both my DSs, my DS Lite and my 3DS are at 100%. So I will at least have 10 hours of gameplay that I could play if I do lose power.
And you'll at least have your Cheerios and your bib and you'll be all ready to go to watch Teen Titans in the morning.
Number three.
Dude. I'll tell you what, C-Cat has had a lot of low blows with me lately. C-Cat, what did I do, man? I know I put the company at risk by accidentally clicking on IT phishing emails. But my God, man, yeah. And you know what? I have Naruto episodes downloaded on my phone. Damn it, I will be watching cartoons.
What's wrong with that? You think Stephanie's not happy that I didn't complete that Florida that hurricane email?
No, she just. She didn't give us homework or anything. She just gave us a couple of suggestions. And I have all of her suggestions outside of the flashlight.
Yeah, I don't have anything in the apartment. I have three books. So we're going to see. And I don't want to read three books in a row. I don't.
Number three.
Our NFL Week 5 Sunday slate began with the Jets dropping to 2-3 on the season. They lost 23-17 to the still undefeated Vikings through 5 weeks. The Jets offense scored 93 points. Through 5 weeks of last year, the historically inept, the historically horrible quarterback play Jets scored 93 points. Rodgers has a low ankle sprain. He's expected to play next Monday. Is Rodgers going to play all 17 games this season?
I mean, I can't hypothesize. He's getting banged up a little bit, but I think there's a whole lot of the offense has no fluidity. They don't flow. And that Minnesota defense is as good as it gets, but the Jets at this point, they have a lot of issues, and Rodgers is a little washed. You can see his age, but it's too quick. They don't take many shots downfield. I don't know. I'm down on them, and I need them to turn it around. So I'm a little upset because I thought they'd continue to improve as the season went along. But I can't hypothesize whether Rodgers is going to play 17 games. But to Mike's point, you know, if you get hit a lot, eventually you're going to miss a game or two.
I think that as long as it's not like season-ending stuff, I think he'll play through it. We've seen in years past Rodgers playing through injuries. The last year he was in Green Bay, he played through a plethora of injuries. Now, I told you guys before the year I didn't think Rodgers was MVP form in a year. or excuse me, anymore. I do think he's a serviceable quarterback, but once again, I go back to the Jet fans and you Jet supporters that were telling me, all the Jets need is good quarterback play. I completely disagreed with that, just because I don't believe in Nathaniel Hackett, and I think there are too many things, outside forces working against the Jets. You know, Colin, I know it sounds like I joke around sometimes with the mojo stuff with Colin, but there is something to that. That team just doesn't seem like to have a theme or mojo. I don't believe in Hackett, and I think Salah is a dead man walking.
Number four.
The NLDS series are packed with action and hate. Both series are tied at one game apiece after the Padres and Phillies took their respective game twos yesterday. Which NL divisional series is more intriguing? Phillies Mets, Dodgers Padres.
Now, Colin, I know your answer to this, so I'm gonna go the others. The reason I think it's Dodgers and Padres is because I actually think the Dodgers are gonna lose. Like, the Dodgers have been the shoe-in, including myself, for a lot of people to the World Series this year. When I saw them acquire Ohtani, along with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, I thought it was all but just a formality. But I sometimes forget how crazy the MLB playoffs are. The Padres are a solid team, and they stole one in L.A. Colin,
I
think it's the Dodgers and the Padres, because I think the Padres are actually going to do it.
Yeah, they're hot. It's obviously the Phillies and Mets. I think there's just a lot of blood brooding there. But now, maybe with the situation yesterday with the Dodger fans, maybe that makes that series a little bit more interesting, a little bit more than surface level. But the Dodger guys, all those players are good guys. So it's not like there's a lot of polarizing personality there. If Freeman, Betts, and Ohtani, the poster boys, are all good guys. The Mets, you got Winker, who's a pain. You got Harper, who's a bit polarizing. Castellanos, not everybody loves. Schwarber, people like. But there's a lot of Nimmo. There's a lot of bad blood there. There's juice. There's mojo. And for that, I think that the Phillies-Mets is an easy one. This has been two very good games so far. Very tight. A little less hitting, but a little bit more strategic. Give me that one. Number five.
Number five.
Wrapping it up with college football. Not to be forgotten, in the Pac Sports weekend, Vanderbilt did the unthinkable. They did the impossible. Vandy beat number one ranked powerhouse Alabama 40-35. Vanderbilt's dragon slaying quarterback Diego Pavia was lightened up on a hot mic post game. Can Alabama still make the college football playoff even after what could be the most embarrassing SEC loss of the millennium?
I think so. We went through it earlier. They have a rough four-game stretch of, I believe, Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, and another one on the back half that I just am remiss of remembering. I would have liked for Bama to go into those four stretch of games undefeated, but as long as they don't lose more than two, they're in. If they lose three, I think they're out, because I think some other SEC teams are going to have some better records. I think a whole lot of these teams are going to eat each other, but I do think Alabama is still going to make the playoff, because I don't see them losing more than two games.
Yeah, they can afford that loss. That's the bottom line. Their season's not over. This is not the college football playoff of the past. This was this time last year, you know, you'd have a conversation about Alabama. But the fact that there's going to be 12 teams that get in, Bama has the most impressive win on any resume of anybody in the country so far. I mean, other than Vanderbilt. But I think that it's simple. Win a couple more of your games, take down Tennessee, and then you'll be completely fine on the rest of the way. That was the 5 at 5. Thank you, CCAP Behind the Glass, for helping us out there. 888-760-3776. That's 888-760-3776 to get into the program. That is the call-in number. We go to Connecticut. Todd in Connecticut joins us now on Russo and Rizzo. Todd, what's on your mind? What's going on?
Hey, Todd from New Canaan. Good to talk to you guys. Hey, boys, congrats on the show. That's really great news. Colin, we're all proud of you here in New Canaan.
Yeah, I was expecting this call, Todd. I was, eventually.
You knew it was coming, didn't
you? I did. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah. So, I don't know what to do. I'm a long-suffering Jets fan, and I just feel like we're lost once again. I thought this was the year. You know, when Tua goes down, I thought we got an easy pass. We got 4 easy wins in our division. Maybe we take one from Buffalo. That's 5. We're off to the playoffs. I've already seen enough of Rodgers. He's not a leader. All the off the field stuff drives me nuts. Salah's not strong. The team seems lost, and Rodgers doesn't seem great.
Now, if you guys, Mike here, by the way, if you guys win Monday night, you'll be in the lead in the AFC East. Does that do anything for you, partner?
Well, it does, but I got to tell you something. Ira was on with Chris, and he said it great. He said, yeah, Rodgers is talented, but he's not a leader. And he's not leading this team. I mean, because there's more problems on this team. You're getting paid $40 million. Be a leader.
Yeah.
You want to be moms and be a little divisive? I can live with that. But when you're not producing on the field, shut up, be a leader, and lead this team, and hug your coach when he goes to hug you.
Yeah, it's almost right. Like Rodgers is doing his own thing. Todd, last thing here. What's going on in the baseball? What's your read on everything? And go right ahead.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I'm playing with house money. I love the team. I love the guys. I love the manager. Tough game the other night, but, Diaz had thrown a lot of pitches in a short period of time,
yeah.
So you got to cut him a break. I would have liked to see McGill not throw a slider. His other stuff looked good, and he had hung a couple of sliders. He got away with one with Harper. But I'm very, very happy with where they are. I'm going to be at the game tomorrow night, so I'm psyched about that.
Oh, wow, nice. So you're going to be at Citi Field, but the Mets are oozing magic. I completely agree. I don't even think yesterday was a bad loss. I mean, yeah, they blew it, but in a lot of ways, the top nine heroics once again, the Mets are going to, they just don't lose. They don't give up, and I think that resilience is going to really propel them here.
Yeah, love the team. Love everything that they're about. Love everything that they're about. I don't think we sign. I don't know what we do with Polar Bear after this season. He was a good player
back
25 years ago when the home run was important.
Yeah, he's coming back, Todd.
I don't know that he's that.
Yeah, he's coming back. Appreciate it, Todd. Good call as always. Good chatting. I know it was a little cut off there, but what are you going to do? Todd, a big Met fan, of course. He's a big Jet fan.
I love the accent. Love the accent.
So he's a big Met fan. We're going to talk to Jonathan Zaslow of the Zaslow Show 2.0 of ESPN Radio and the College Football Tour. Next, it's Russo and Rizzo Live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here after a Week 5 NFL Sunday and a Week 6 college football, which included a whole lot of upsets. A guy who knows college football just as much as anybody, who you can hear him on the College Football Tour on ESPN Radio weekly. They travel around the country to the biggest games on their schedule. You can hear him on the Zaslow Show 2.0. And I'd now like to welcome in Jonathan Zaslow of ESPN Radio. What's going on, Zaz? How you doing?
How you doing, guys? I'm trying to recover from that Hurricanes game going into the middle of the night. I mean, how could an in-conference Atlantic Coast Conference game go until 3 in the morning? So I'm very tired. I'm trying to make up for it at my age.
Well, let's start there. As bad of a what was your take on this targeting call that gave Miami the ball back late in the game? I thought it was an egregious miss. That's just my opinion. But now Miami now has escaped by the skin of their teeth 2 straight weeks. What's your read on that?
So I'm watching it, and I'm stunned that they didn't call targeting at the time. And then they go to the review, which you knew they were going to, and I would have bet anything in the world that they're coming back and they're calling targeting. To me, it's almost as if you were going to show a video to incoming players what is targeting. You could have shown that video. And I thought it was an especially selfish play from the Hurricane player because in that moment right there, you could say, oh, he didn't do it on purpose. He's not trying to injure. Say whatever you want. But when a player or defender sees the quarterback out in the open like that, it's going through his mind, wow, I get a chance to hit the quarterback really hard and violent here. Let me do it. And that's all he was thinking about there, in my opinion. I thought it was an incredibly selfish play. And he got so lucky that he did not cause his team the game. Hurricane fans aren't going to like me saying it. I thought it was 1,000% a targeting call.
Zaz, how worried are you about this team moving forward? The Florida game was fun, and you thought, all right, this could be the Canes here. They're still undefeated, but is there a belief in you as a Canes fan that this is a team that could compete for a national title after close calls against Virginia Tech and Cal?
Well, luckily, I mean, I think if you make the playoffs, you're competing for a national title. And in the Hurricanes' case, if they win the ACC championship, you're going to have a bye, and then you're automatically in the quarterfinals. So I think that qualifies for competing for a national championship. So they're going to compete for a national championship. And you look at the remaining schedule here. I mean, look, there aren't any exactly, daunting opponents left here. They have the bye. And then they're at Louisville, who just got crushed by SMU.
Right.
And then you got the worst team in college football, which we all know is FSU. All right. And then you're talking about teams like Duke, at Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and at Syracuse to finish it. I think no matter how good you are, and we saw it happen with Tennessee, we saw it happen with Alabama, these teams can get tripped up. I think no matter how good you are, you got to avoid getting tripped up. And it's going to happen against teams that are much lesser than you. And what happened with the Canes the last couple weeks is they avoided getting tripped up. Hey, even the greatest college football team in the history of the world, the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, they almost got tripped up on the road at a Boston College team that had no business being on the field with them. You get an interception on the last play of the game on the goal line. Ed Reed takes it to the house. Canes survive. They win the national championship. So every team winds up having to get past these situations where they don't play their best. I think the bye comes at a great time for the Hurricanes because they obviously have to fix up what's going on in the secondary.
I understand the point. Every team trips up. We saw it this weekend with a lot of SEC teams, the 0-1 Hurricanes comparison. I mean, we could maybe take a step back on that regard, but I understand the point about the Miami Hurricanes and how every team is due for a little bit of a slip up. Let's talk about some of these slip ups. Alabama, of course, losing. Tennessee, of course, losing. Alabama in a hangover game format, and Tennessee, maybe they're looking ahead to that Alabama game. And even Missouri as well, getting absolutely killed at Kyle Field. Which one of those losses do you think is quite concerning for the team that lost that? Are you concerned about Bama? Are you concerned about Tennessee? Is Missouri a problem? What's your takeaway?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know that Missouri's any good. I feel like going into the game, that was our question. Not really sure. Don't know how good Missouri is. We're about to find out here. And obviously they got crushed in the only two-team top 25 matchup of the weekend. So let's throw Missouri out the window. I don't think they're any good. Of the teams that we talked about so far, I'm concerned about Miami. I mean, like Alabama, it's weird that Miami is now ranked ahead of Alabama because, I understand the Canes have zero losses and the Alabama has one. We all know Alabama's a lot better than the Miami Hurricanes, all right? Alabama, look, if they were due to have a letdown game after all the emotion the week before, it is what it is. I could easily see Alabama going up to the SEC championship without a loss up to that point. I think Alabama still gets in. I think the SEC is going to have probably five teams in the college football playoff. The thing is with Miami, the reason it was so important that they came from behind and won that game Saturday, if they would have lost that game, they're done. Because now you're in a dogfight to even appear in the ACC championship game if you have one loss. You're not making the playoffs if you're not in the ACC championship game. And matter of fact, I think the only way you make the playoffs if you lose the ACC championship game, if it's Miami, undefeated Miami, and Clemson in the national championship game. And if Clemson wins the ACC, automatically gets in, and they give Miami their first and only loss of the season, in that case, I think the ACC would get two teams in. I think it's the only way.
Now, Zaz, we talked about some SEC teams. Is there a SEC team that stands out to you more than the other? I know Georgia just lost to Alabama, but with Alabama going down to Vanderbilt, I'm interested to hear who your leader in the clubhouse in the Southeastern Conference is right now.
Yeah, I think it's easy to look at it and say, all right, Georgia, Alabama, they're neck and neck. Georgia lost at Alabama. Alabama lost at Vanderbilt. So forgetting about transitive theory, Georgia lost the much better team. They're the better team of the two. I think they're neck and neck, the two of them. You know, that Georgia-Alabama a couple weekends ago, Georgia simultaneously, or at least within the 60 minutes of the game, played their worst game of the year. And they also played their best game of the year. Georgia is never going to look as bad as down 30-7 at Alabama from that first half. And Georgia's never going to look as good than that huge comeback and putting it on Alabama in the second half and having a chance to win there. I think Georgia and Alabama are still neck and neck, although this weekend I'm at Texas State Fair, Red River Rivalry, number one Texas, Texas-Oklahoma this weekend. I mean, Oklahoma, let's not forget, now it's a big SEC matchup, the Red River Rivalry. So it remains to be seen what Texas looks like after the week off this past week, but I think it's Georgia. Even though Texas has won, I think it's Georgia and Alabama are the best teams in the SEC.
Jonathan Zaslow of ESPN Radio, the College Football Tour and the Zaslow 2.0 show, joining us now on Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You're right, it's probably Texas number one, but they got a tough two-game stretch here, a rivalry game, and turning around and playing Georgia back-to-back like that is not going to be easy. But let's shift over to what we saw yesterday on Sunday. One game that I thought was pretty glaring was how the Niners handled that second half, blowing that game against the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about it a little earlier in the show. This has been a unfortunate type of theme with Kyle Shanahan as head coach. You know, blew a 10-point lead against the Rams. He blew a 10-point against the Rams in the conference title game a couple of years ago. He blew the Super Bowl where they're ahead on the Chiefs. He blew the Falcons Super Bowl, most notably. Now he blew this one. It seems like he can't close a game. That's his legacy at the moment. What's your reaction to what happened with the Niners yesterday and Kyle Shanahan?
I mean, guys, this second half was a disaster. You look at the second half that San Francisco had, all right? They're up 23-10 at halftime at home against Kyler Murray, who I think we all know is not very good. And San Francisco's second half drives, this is all of them. It's not hard to figure out if it was a problem. Here is San Francisco's drives in the second half. Interception, downs, fumble, interception. That was their entire second half. I mean, come on. Like, you're giving the game away in that spot to Arizona. Like, I understand you got injuries here, but you got a big lead at halftime, and they accomplished nothing in the second half. That's probably the biggest shock of the day, I think, Arizona and San Francisco. Arizona's not any good.
Every team's been blowing that defense open, too.
Zaz, yep. The London game, Rodgers, 54 passing attempts. He was 23-17 to the Vikings. I mean, believe it or not, Zaz, before you go in too hard on the Jets, if they do beat the struggling at the moment Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football, they will be in the lead in that division. But your quick thoughts on Rodgers showing 54 times and losing in London.
I mean, guys, the Dolphins and the Jets are tied for second place in the AFC.
Yep.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, now let's take back for a second. Who would have thought that a 40-year-old quarterback who did not play last year, who is coming off a major injury, who decided to hang out in the darkness and then decided he wanted to play for, of all teams, the New York Jets, and who has not been an above-average quarterback for three seasons now, is going to wind up struggling for the New York Jets? Who would have possibly guessed that that was going to be the scenario? And by the way, we're in the early part of the season here. He's not going to get any fresher. He's only going to get more and more wear and tear. He looked horrible on Sunday morning. I think he's in big trouble. I saw it the whole way. There's no reason to believe that you just throw Aaron Rodgers on this team, having not played football in two seasons, and that was going to cure all of what ails them. And if you're thinking about Devontae Adams, I mean, you guys, do you think just adding a Devontae Adams cures what's going on with that Jets offense? I don't.
I would agree with that. Rodgers, you're seeing his age. And you didn't 2 years ago, but that was also 2 years ago. To the NFC side of things, the NFC North, the Minnesota, of course, won that game in London. They got four teams now with three or more wins. The Vikings, of course, sitting atop at 5-0. The Bears starting to put together a couple weeks here where they're playing pretty well. That NFC North is going to be as big of a dogfight as I think you could find in the NFL. Who's that odd man out there?
I think Darnold's performance, too, in London, and I'm happy for him. It's a really great story, Darnold and the Vikings. But I think Darnold's performance in that game as well shows you, A, the Vikings are really good because he was not good, Darnold,
right,
and B, the Jets are really bad. It's a little bit of both in that game. But I look at that NFC North, it might be the best division in football. Every team's above 500. Minnesota is obviously the surprise there because I felt Chicago was a playoff team anyway coming into this season. I thought that Caleb Williams was going to be great from day number one. I have to admit, I was wrong. He's great now, day number five. All right, it took a few days for him to get there. I understand it was against Carolina, but two of his last three games now, Caleb Williams, over 300 yards, multiple touchdowns passing. He's got a rapport now going with DJ Moore, two touchdowns yesterday. I think Chicago's the real deal. I think Caleb Williams is the real deal. That's a division where you're probably going to get three playoff teams in the NFC North.
Probably.
Zaz, sticking it in, staying in rather with the NFC, Jane Daniels and the Commanders doing whatever they wanted against my Brownies on Sunday. Are you taking them seriously in that NFC East, or do you buy in the rebound Dallas had in Pittsburgh last night on Sunday Night Football? Late Sunday Night Football game, by the way.
Well, oh my God, so late. Look, I'm in on Dallas. I've been in on Dallas since the start of the season. I'm probably on an island with very few people who are still in on Dallas. But Washington is clearly a contender for the NFC East right now. And I'll tell you, based on the way the NFL, the salary cap works, if you want to talk about Davante Adams, that's the team that should be making the phone call. That's the team that should be going after him, is Washington. Washington should try and acquire Davante Adams, because there's clearly not just a window for the NFC East this year, but Jaden Daniels looks like a star. And if that's the case, and you have him on the rookie value, if you have him on that contract for the next 4 years, you need to take advantage of it. Spend money elsewhere, put as much talent around him as possible, because if he's a star in his rookie contract, the window to win a Super Bowl is right now. I'm not saying that's really this season. Clearly the NFC East is up for grabs right now, but if I'm the Commanders, I'm acquiring Davante Adams this week.
That's an interesting point. I don't disagree that, you know, in terms of a franchise turnaround, that didn't, it's all of a sudden your record's that great. Got to make a move. Zaz, you're a Florida guy yourself. Hurricane Milton's coming into town here in a few short days. Mike and I are not as hurricane prepped in terms of our experiences with it. What's your takeaway on how we should handle this? Are you worried about this in the South Florida area? What's going to go happen with Hurricane Milton?
Okay, normally I don't get very serious about it, but I'm certainly going to take a serious tact with you guys, because we have people listening and it's very serious business. So in all seriousness, guys, you gotta keep track of it. Make sure you're checking the news. You're watching all that stuff. You're following on social media. If you're not someone who's accustomed to it like yourself, you have to take it serious. Now, unfortunately for the people on the West Coast, who I feel terrible for, they're going to get slammed again. Just 2 weeks after this Hurricane Helene, they're going to get slammed again. They have to evacuate. It's a disaster, all right? For us, it looks like we're going to be okay. We're definitely going to get terrible weather Tuesday and then into Wednesday. It's going to be really bad weather, probably flooding and all of that stuff. Pray to God that it doesn't hurt the West Coast too much. Pray to God that it doesn't hurt us too much. Like I said, I don't normally get crazy with the hurricanes. I've been here my whole life. I remember Hurricane Andrew. But you guys, you're new. You got to take it serious.
Zaz, final thing I wanted to touch with you. I want to go back to college really, really quick. The Buckeyes in Oregon, you know, I'm a big Buckeyes supporter. You got a sense of what's going to happen in this game, partner? I don't think either team has really been battle tested.
I'm sure you're going to that game too, right, Zaz?
No, that's this weekend, right?
Yes.
No, we're at Texas River Rivalry for Texas,
that's
Oklahoma.
It.
We're at State Fair.
But in any sense, that's probably one of the bigger games this weekend. Any sense of what's going to happen there? And it seems like the first Big Ten clash we've really had all year.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, right now, one of them is 3, one of them is 6. Whichever team wins there is probably going to win the Big Ten. And while I think you're going to have 4 teams probably get in from the Big Ten for the playoffs, so it's not like a death knell for the team that loses that game, but getting that bye and potentially the second seed or the third seed, because the 4th seed's going to be Big 12 champion, like, that's an enormous advantage, not having to play that extra playoff game. So it's a monster game. Both teams are going to make the playoffs, I would assume, but this could be for who's going to get the bye,
right?
Because they're going to have a chance to get to the conference championship game.
You mentioned on the college football tour, you guys are going to be at the Texas River
Red River Rivalry.
Red River Rivalry.
And where can the fans listen to you when they want to get a sense of that and you?
10 a.m. Eastern Time, ESPN Radio, of course, also on FM 106.3 West Palm, SiriusXM Channel 80, the ESPN app, the whole deal. 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Saturday morning. I'm live in the Airstream studio. We're going to be at Texas State Fair. It's the Red River Rivalry, Texas-Oklahoma, which, believe it or not, is now an SEC showdown, all right, strangely enough. So that's a huge game. I'm very excited about that. I've never been to the Texas State Fair, so I'm into it.
And Zaslow, where can they catch you on your show?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Zaslow Show 2.0, wherever you get your podcasts. I can name all the places, but then I'll be taking up your entire show. So wherever you listen to podcasts, Zaslow Show 2.0, Monday through Friday, we're Miami-based podcasts. And Zaslow Show 2.0 is brought to us by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. They're the title sponsor of everything, Zaslow Show 2.0. If you're dealing with a personal injury, you got to get someone who's going to help you, who's going to treat you like family and fight for you. That's Anajar and Levine. Whatever injury you're dealing with, it could be a hit and run, motorcycle, boating accident, slip and fall. You worry about your health, you call 911. Then you call Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. They will get you the compensation you deserve. 800-747-3, 800-747-3733, guys.
Zaslow, great job as always. Appreciate the insight. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Zaz.
Thank you, pal. See ya.
That was Jonathan Zaslow of the Zaslow Show 2.0, college football tour, and on ESPN Radio all the time. Does a great job as always. Knows college football front and back. Catch him every Monday live here on Russo and Rizzo. Mike's got a big weekend ahead because we mentioned some college football. We mentioned some collegiate athletics. Kaiser University's playing this weekend. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yes, folks, and they are champions. Champions, they are all over the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. The Kaiser Seahawks have now won 22 national championships, including back-to-back national championships in men's lacrosse, three straight NAIA women's swimming and diving titles, and, of course, their first national championship in football this past season. You can hear myself and Cyrus Wittig on the call for all of their home football games. KU has also captured 61 regular season and 63 conference tournament titles, plus a Learfield Cup trophy. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks Athletics at KU.com. Once again, folks, get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks Athletics, KU Seahawks, .com, and be on the lookout for their home football game coming up this Saturday. I will not be on the call for this one. I got some other obligations coming up on Saturday. I apologize, but my good buddy Cyrus Wittig will have the call for you guys coming up on Saturday. Once again, folks, champions they are all over the flagship campus of Kaiser.
We give our Monday Night Football picks presented by Hard Rock Bet. Close out the program next. Stick around. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Chiefs hosting tonight, Monday Night Football on ESPN. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be on the call. The Saints coming into town, sitting at 2-2. The Chiefs, of course, what's new, 4-0. Packed one on Monday Night Football. You can catch that right here on ESPN 106.3. We got the play-by-play for that. C-Cat, say yes for me.
EDS is yes, because there's a lot of unknowns in this world. We don't know how bad this hurricane's going to be. What we do know is that you cannot afford your AC to go out. It simply is a non-compromisable necessity in the great state of Florida. That's why you need to go to the website edsisyes.com. edsisyes.com, because they are our trusted AC experts in Palm Beach County. You know they're good when not 500, not 600, over 760 people have agreed that they're awesome. That's a 4.8-star Google rating, because EDS is yes. They've been keeping you cool since 2006. They provide 24/7 support, timely service, and you can even book online at edsisyes.com. Consider using any of their service-first maintenance plans, because rather than wait for disaster to hit, prevent it with EDS. They're for all of your AC and plumbing needs. EDSisYes.com.
EDS is yes. What is EDS? Yes. EDS is yes. I love EDS. It's yes.
Staying cool, man.
Colin, I want to thank you. Can I thank you for something?
What's that?
For dealing with me in studio, for my fist bumps, my waves of disapproval. And if you guys are watching on the YouTube stream, I've been all over the place. Today, the guards, Colin, are killing me right now. We've had two runners in scoring positions. Last two innings on Skubal, but two inning-ending double plays. If I'm vote at this point, I'm sending. Whoever's on first, I'm pinch running and I'm sending them because you got to get someone across the board against Skubal. I think this is a must-win, Colin. I think this is a must-win for the Guardians because Detroit has been waiting for a playoff series. Kyle, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. I think since maybe 2009.
I don't have the number in my head.
But yeah, but it's been a very long
time.
But
they're already up 1-0. You just don't want them to drop a game at home?
Yeah, I don't want them to. I think it's important you go into that series in Detroit up 2-0 and to not take advantage of Skubal is crazy. Now, the good news is Cade Smith is unbelievable, one of the best bullpen arms in the game right now, and he's on his third inning of duty here. But, Kyle, I just appreciate you bearing with me. I hate when one of my teams is playing when I'm working.
No, so. Tigers in the World Series 2012. That was the last time.
Thank you. Thank you. Not 09.
With the great bowl.
Guys, but it's been 12 years since a home crowd has seen a playoff team. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have mojo. I'm assuming they're going to have some things going on there in Motown. So I think it's very important the Guards win today.
No score, top seven. Skubal's at 83 pitches through six. I wonder if they'll give him that seventh. My guess is yes, but I could be wrong, hitting around a little bit. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Let's get into our Monday Night Football picks presented by Hard Rock Bet. That fires me up.
Yeah.
That is a theme right there. I'll tell you that. Saints Chiefs tonight. We'll do all three of us giving our pick. Who's our player of the game as well? 2-2 Saints visiting the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. Monday Night Football 8:15. Mike Rizzo, what say you?
I'm gonna go with the Chiefs 21-14. I think the player of the game is going to be Xavier Worthy. I think with Rashee Rice out, I think he's going to be the favorite target for Mahomes. You know, I love Travis Kelce being a Cleveland kid, but for some reason, he really hasn't been able to kick it on here in the beginning of the year. No touchdowns for Travis Kelce entering in week five. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs 21-14. Give me Xavier Worthy for my MVP with a pair of touchdowns.
Looking at Hard Rock Bet. That line of 5.5 has been all week. Has
you
moved.
Like, you yeah, like you that. Do. Oh, it moved.
Oh, yeah,
it moved
I forgot. Five. I didn't even. I totally forgot that your lock of the week was Saints 5.5.
This is the scheduled, oh, my God, I think the Chiefs are broken game. Rashee Rice hurt. David Worthy, the number one option. He's a rookie. I'm not sure he's ready to be that number one option because Travis Kelce looks like he is about 84 years old on the football field right now. Give me the Saints to not only cover the 5.5 or the 5, whatever number you get. The Saints are going to win this game outright.
Wow.
You can put it on the board. MVP Alvin Kamara. He'll find the end zone a couple times.
They win easy?
They win.
It's in Arrowhead, C-Cats. Tough place to play, brother.
They win this game by 9 points. No little, no more.
I do think you're going to see some points tonight. I do. I think that Kubiak offense will see another vamp of life, and I think that offenses have started to figure it out 4 weeks into the year. You saw it yesterday with some more scoring than you usually do. And a couple 300-yard games, which you never see from quarterbacks nowadays, even from Jacksonville Jaguars of all teams. I think this is going to be in the scoring realm. I think that we're going to see a 34-31 final. And I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. I don't like choosing the Saints to cover, but I think it'll be a close game. If the Chiefs win big, I'm more than happy with that, with your punchline picks and you guys falling beneath us in the rankings there. The punchline picks, of course, 6 picks. Losers have to give stand-up comedy routine at the end of the year. It's tied. We're both, I think, 12-16, but you guys are relying on this one, huh?
So if I gave you $110 and you did bet one of four things, Saints plus the 5.5, Chiefs minus the 5.5, over 43 or under 43, what are you taking that $110 and doing?
Well, based on what I just told you, I would take the over on the points, and then I would take the Saints plus 5.5.
So
parlay them? That's what you're saying?
If
count your wins.
If I'm logging on to the fantastic Hard Rock app.
Hard Rock Bet app, yes.
I am putting all my money on the Chiefs 5.5. They don't lose at home. They you know, Taylor Swift's probably going to be in the house. 5.5, Chiefs, easy money. Hard Rock Bet app, baby. 5.5 for the Chiefs. Book it.
Monday Night Football picks presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go check out some of the bets they got, some of the trendy picks they have in the Discover page. You can go check out the lines. They're always changing. Bet live. Bet the touchdown scores first, last, anytime. Go check it out. Hard Rock Bet's got it all covered. But It's Hard Rock Bet. We are no handicappers, too, so any of our picks, let's keep it one thing in mind. We are no professionals, so do not take what we are taking. But it's Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21-plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Well, you got the Tigers and the Guardians going down to the wire here. Top seven. You got the Yankees and the Royals going on tonight. I think the Tigers are going to just one out. I really do. And I think the Yankees are going to go back to Kansas City up 2-0. What are your picks on this?
Yeah. You know, I'm a Yankees fan, so you really take this with a grain of salt. But Yankees, it's easy tonight. It's going to be an easy, like, 6-0 win. Judge will go yard in the first, 2-run home run. There'll be an error at first base by John Birdie. First time he's ever played first base, not only in Major League Baseball, but in the minors, in fall ball, winter ball. He's never played first base, but the Yankees are going to throw him out there.
I think I'm going to buy into C-Cat's Judge explosion tonight, too. So I will go with the Yankees. I do disagree with you, though. The Guardians, we got magic at home. We'll win in the night.
That's been the Monday edition of Russo and Rizzo. Everybody stay safe. Get prepared for Hurricane Milton coming up later this week. Prepare the windows, get some water, get some non-perishable foods, get some flashlights, batteries, whatever you got to do to make sure you and yours are safe and happy and healthy. But we send you off into Tuesday. We'll be back at it on Russo and Rizzo live here on ESPN 106.3.